It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM. I'm John Moe, and we live in strange times. Google is now taking orders for Google Glass. It's glasses that let you take pictures or video, show you information like from a smartphone, but on the glasses. It's available to software developers for $1,500, shipping next year. I'm dubious about it catching on, but Molly Wood of CNET, you are smitten.
I feel like Google Glass is the start of kind of a sea change in terms of interactive sharing and experiencing. And I think, although it might not be our natural tendency to share everything that we're doing, that is absolutely what the kids these days are doing with social networking. They check in everywhere. They share every little detail, you know, and even I do it a little bit. And I feel like if you can do that sort of hands-free with that first-person perspective, it's the idea of like Foursquare check-ins, FaceTime or Skype, all rolled into one.
But you aren't living life, though. You're living an artificial overlay of life, and that creates so much dissonance that you won't want to bother. You're out there in the world, but you're seeing it through what kind of pictures you're going to take that you know you'll never look at later. Are people willing to give up life itself to have glasses?
Okay. I think even you would agree that's a bit of a hyperbole.
A bit, yes.
I actually think that the glasses are better than the way that we are currently. So half of the time when I am at an event, and I am as guilty as anyone, I'm not even experiencing it because I'm so busy uploading the picture that I just took and then tweeting and Facebooking it. If I was just watching it and then a camera on the side of my glasses was broadcasting it for me, you could argue that I'm actually even more immersed in my life and I'm sharing at the same time. It's a double win.
Do you know anything about whether the information that you see through these things is being relayed to Google? Are we going to see ads based on what photos we took when we get on Gmail a month later?
I think it's safe to say almost certainly, yes. That's what Google does.
Sharing special moments with Google.
All day, every day.
Every day through glasses or implants. Molly Wood, thank you.
My pleasure.
Molly Wood of CNET. Turning to another product not quite available, a judge has approved Apple's request to block U.S. sales of the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 while litigation is pursued. Apple argues the design of Samsung's tablet is too much like an iPad. Colleen Chen of Santa Clara University's School of Law says Samsung has had a hard time in court showing that the Galaxy Tab isn't an iPad knockoff.
There were some pointed court testimony where Judge Koh actually held up both devices and asked the lawyer to distinguish between the two devices, and they couldn't. So
asked Samsung's lawyer to distinguish?
Yes. Ooh. So, you know, that wasn't a very good day for that lawyer.
No.
But also it does speak to the resemblance between these products, which is stronger and I think greater than many other products that are out there, which may look like an Apple but aren't that similar that you can't tell them apart.
So what does this decision mean for me as somebody who might want to buy devices in a store?
The answer to that depends in each case on the specific patent. So if you're talking about a small feature that can be turned off, then, you know, it might mean that you can still buy the device, but you've got to buy it without that feature in it. But in this case, since we're talking about the actual whole design of the Galaxy Tab, then, you know, Samsung's engineers are going to have to go back and figure out how to make this look different than an Apple device and like these patents. So what it could mean for you as a consumer is that you've got less choice. If you were planning to buy this device, which is cheaper than the iPad, you may be out of luck for a while.
Colleen Chen of Santa Clara University. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
Marketplace Tech Report is supported by CenturyLink, linking Americans and Fortune 500 companies to what matters most. Learn more at CenturyLink.com.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.